correct answer, of course, is C. Assist the woman to become aware of services available to her in regard to the abuse. Reporting applies only to minor children. Let's look at Module 4, Physician Confidentiality. Since many therapists interface with physicians, I felt it would be a good idea to include in the course a module which helped us examine the ethical issues that physicians face regarding confidentiality. And the basis of this is Robert Veach's Patient-Physician Relations. Here's what Veach calls the case of the homosexual husband. Now, this is a really good example, and I referenced this at the beginning of the home study course, where the physician is faced with a real dilemma regarding breaches in confidentiality when he's treating two patients. David, the oldest of three children, was the son of a well-to-do manufacturer. Now, David's father valued physical ability and athletic accomplishments, areas in which the boy showed little interest. When David was 12 years old, conflicts with his father resulted in almost nightly arguments. It was evident that David's father had become concerned about his son's mannerisms and considered them to be effeminate. David's schoolwork deteriorated considerably, and he became withdrawn. His father decided to send him to military school, but he remained there only 6 months. By this time, David had told his parents that he was a homosexual, that he had engaged in and was engaging in homosexual practices. He came home and completed his high school after military school, but he did not go to college, and surprisingly enough, he continued to live at home. He was treated for gonorrhea, asthma, and infectious herpes. At the age of 21, to gain exception from the draft, his physician, and this is where the physician enters the picture, attested the fact that David was a homosexual. 5 years later, Joan visited the family physician for a premarital serology exam. The physician was the same practitioner who had treated David. Joan was 24 years old and had been under his care, the physician's care, since the age of 14. A close and warm relationship had developed between the physician and Joan's family, so it was normal for the physician to ask about her fiancé. When he did, he learned that she was about to marry David. She had known him only briefly, but well enough, she felt to be certain about her choice. Nothing more was said at the time. David and Joan were married shortly afterwards and lived together for 6 months. The marriage was annulled on the basis of non-consummation. David told Joan that he was homosexually oriented, and she learned as well that not only did they share the same physician, but also that the physician was aware of David's homosexuality. Joan subsequently suffered a depression as a result of her experience and was angry that her physician had remained silent about David. Joan felt she should have been spared this horrible episode and that it was the duty of the physician to inform her. The physician's failure to do so was an act of negligence, she felt, resulting in deep emotional scars. Now, the question is this: to whom did the physician owe primary allegiance? Do the interests of one patient prevail over the requirements of confidentiality surrounding another's case? Veach states, at least in uncomplicated cases, the practitioner should convey to patients any medically relevant information that would be potentially meaningful or useful in medical decision-making. The Hippocratic ethic instructs the physician to do what he thinks will benefit his patient. However, the tradition of physician ethics on confidentiality is not at all clear. The Hippocratic Oath really is ambiguous. It states that a physician should keep secret those things he learns in his practice that ought not to be, and this is a quote, spread abroad. Now, which things those are not specified. Let's look at the WMA, the World Medical Association, and their version of the Hippocratic Oath. It states, simplistically, that the physician will keep confidences entrusted to him. On the other hand, The version by the American Medical Association states a quite different approach. Its principles to ethics say that the physician ought not to disclose things learned in confidence, except in three cases. Now, this is going to sound really familiar. When disclosure is required by law, when it is in the patient's interest, or when it is in the interest of other people. Sound familiar, right? Nowhere does traditional physician ethics say anything about resolving conflicts between duties to two patients whose interest may conflict, which may differ from the practitioner's. Now, let's examine another case where we're studying the gray areas of privacy and confidentiality. A 21-year-old woman asked to see her medical records from a children's hospital. The pediatrician in charge of her case was approached by the hospital administration. The case was one of possible non-accidental injury. Because of the risk of misunderstanding what had been written in the notes, not to mention their poor legibility, the pediatrician met with the woman and went through the medical records. He also gave her a full photocopied set to keep. The woman had been a patient 15 years before. At 6 years of age, she had been admitted to the hospital for a few days' observation because she had a large number of bruises for which there was no adequate explanation. Screening tests gave no evidence of a coagulation disorder, and a skeletal survey showed no fractures. Careful inquiries were made of social services, the child abuse agency, the health visitor, the child's general practitioner, and her school. All reports were favorable. The girl came from a good home, there were no concerns, and there was nothing in her background to suggest that this was a case of non-accidental injury. As a result, social services decided not to hold a case conference, and the child was discharged. The pediatrician notified all the above agencies about the bruising, and it was suggested that any further episodes of bruising should be reported immediately to social services. The child was never seen again with injuries. Now, when the pediatrician saw this 21-year-old woman, he had no idea why she wanted to look at her records. He was concerned that the family might have been disrupted about the earlier inquiries into possible child abuse, or that he had failed to detect abuse and she had been injured further. After the pediatrician had gone through her hospital notes, the woman explained that the bruises had been inflicted deliberately, and that she had wanted to see, from her medical notes, if he had known about the sexual abuse that she had experienced. She had been sexually abused by a male babysitter over a period of weeks and had been beaten by this man when she had shown an unwillingness to cooperate. He had threatened to harm her if she ever reported him, and so she never did report. The woman said that this man still lived in the same neighborhood and now had a young daughter of his own. The pediatrician and woman discussed at length what action she might take. She was unwilling to report the matter to the police or social services, and she repeatedly asked the physician should not, under any circumstances, share this information with anyone else. She told the pediatrician that she had bulimia for several years. This she attributed to her childhood experience, and she feared that bringing the subject out into the open now would increase her stress and increase her depression. The woman's request to maintain confidentiality obviously placed the physician in a difficult position. Her story, if true, suggested that other children might have been harmed or might still be at risk, and he saw little reason to doubt her. The question was whether the pediatrician had a duty to report the matter that outweighed respect for the woman's right for confidentiality. But as mentioned in this case study, it didn't indicate that the woman had noticed bruises on the former babysitter's daughter or any indications of child abuse. Perhaps another way to look at this is the man may have been in therapy and may be rehabilitated at this point. So there's lots of gray areas here. Remember, the purpose of this course is to stimulate your thinking about ethics and confidentiality. In question 7, let's shift gears for a minute. Let's look at Linda B. A battered woman informs you that her husband has threatened to kill her. Now her husband does own a gun. She's been unable to sleep soundly and has developed generalized anxiety. She's afraid that if her husband finds out that she has told you about his abuse, that he will follow through on his threats. Now, what should you do? A. Urge your client to leave her husband and move to a shelter for battered women. B. Work with the client to document the frequency, magnitude, and duration of her reaction to her husband's threats. C. Inform your client of her options. Or D. Interview the husband in order to help him avert behaving in a way that will cause problems for both his wife and himself.